You're listening to Potty Mouth Radio, the home of movies, music, television, and comedy. The following podcast contains spoilers and rude words. We watch a thing.
We watch a thing. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to We Watched a Thing. We're here talking about my most anticipated film of the year. Probably the best film of the year, I bet. Let's do this then. How you doing, Dave?
I've been looking forward to this one. Okay. Not as much as you, obviously. As you said, this was your most anticipated film of 2024.
I was super keen on this. I love monster movies, which I can tell you right now, we're going to talk about a little bit next week when we do our guilty pleasure horror movies. I've got several monster movies in there. I love them. I love kaiju movies. I love Godzilla.
Well, there was no shortage of monsters and kaiju in this film.
Well, yeah. So I was fully expecting this to be fucking amazing. And to be fair, look, I'm not going to say yet what I did think about it, but reviews have been extremely, extremely positive. Even Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic, you'd expect this to be kind of low 20s. This is hovering around 50% on both. Audience scores have been up around the 90s. It's got an A minus on the A plus to F scale from audience scores. So
give it a couple of days. A lot of those reviews would have come out on the 1st of April.
Well, I think that tells us what you think about it. Let's get into it then.
Give nothing away about what I thought of this film.
Godzilla times Kong, The New Empire is a 2024 American monster film directed by Adam Wingard, produced by Legendary Pictures, of course. It's a sequel to Godzilla vs. Kong and the fifth film in the MonsterVerse franchise. It's also, funnily enough, the 38th film in the Godzilla franchise and the 13th film in the King Kong franchise. It stars Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, Dan Stevens, Kaylee Hoddle, Alex Ferns, and Fala Chen. And what is it about, Dave?
Big monkey and big lizard have a fight, and then they make up and kiss, and there's fucking a bunch of other monkeys in Hollow Earth and other things. Diddy Kong shows up for a bit.
That's the other thing. I love Donkey Kong as well. It's all there. All the maps are there.
It's everything. It's Rampage. It's Donkey Kong. It's everything.
Let's. I don't even know where to start with this film. Look, I'm going to say it off the bat. This, and I said it in a group chat to you and a couple of other people. I was a little bit drunk. This is the most disappointed I've been in a cinema since I saw Scott Pilgrim vs. the World in 2010.
I can't believe you would lump that film in with this.
That's a bigger piece of shit than this is. I will never understand.
You shut your whore
I will out. Never understand the love for that film. The problem with that is the same as this. It was a matter of expectations. I was there opening day for that film because I loved the book series, and the film just completely missed the heart, I felt. And I had
it's a well-made, well-acted film.
I disagree.
It isn't true to the source. Well, you're wrong. I get that it may not be true to the source material, but everything else about it is very good. It's made by a good filmmaker.
Whereas this film, exactly the same thing. I went in with probably way too high expectations. I'm one of the few people who really loved Godzilla vs. Kong. I've liked all the movies in this franchise, and so I was super keen. And I really disliked this movie. I was very, very, very disappointed. Did you dislike it as much as it sounds like I did, or did you like it a little more?
I mean, look, I've got to allow for recency bias. So I'm unsure of how to rate this because it is so fresh, but this might be the worst film I've ever seen.
No, can't be.
It could well be. This film... I didn't think anything could be worse than Godzilla versus. And I know you liked it. I thought Godzilla versus Kong and Moonfall are in a rarefied, like S tier, treat the audience like a fucking moron, stupid film level. Not many things reach that tier in terms of just how moronic the writing is and how little the writers care about the intelligence of the audience and whether this shit makes sense. They patently don't give a shit. I didn't think anything could top those two. This film is dumber than those two combined.
Oh, look, see, the only thing I'll the only way I'll defend this film is by saying I don't think you can say that this has as bad a script or as bad a story, because this virtually has neither of those things. This is
two films in one. You've got two entirely separate films that ham-fistedly get smashed together at the end like a child with fucking Tonka toys banging them together. Scripts. Bang, bang, bang.
So a lot of the rave reviews I've seen, which is mostly from people like me, it's mostly kaiju fans and monster movie fans, which is what shocks me that I didn't like this film. Most of the big reviews are that the monster action is great and that, you know, Legendary had this perceived problem, right? When the first Godzilla film came out in 2014... in this franchise, and Godzilla had, I think from memory, about 14 minutes of screen time, and people got real shitty. They were like, stop giving us stories.
One with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Yes. Yeah.
Playing.
Yeah.
Spouse. Were they married in that one? Or
I think so. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was this perceived problem that they had too many human characters, that the storyline of the humans was garbage. Just give us more monsters. And so progressively, that's what they've done.
And I know you would agree with me. That is the antithesis of what this fucking franchise is supposed to be.
It's supposed to be about
the humans, and the giant monsters are in the background.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. There's been a huge mix of both throughout the years. I mean, you look at obviously Godzilla Minus One last year, the best monster movie of all time, and probably, I mean, easily for me, one of the best movies of last year. That is very much a human story, and Godzilla is kind of to the side, and he's affecting the humans. I mean, even with the Toho films and stuff, we've had plenty of this kind of film where it's just monsters running amok, fighting each other, and I love those movies as well. And so when I read that this movie was going to have over an hour of monster screen time, in fact, the words I read were that it was an hour-long monster battle sequence with, you know, virtually no humans during that time, which we do kind of pretty much get in this film. I was excited.
Surprise, surprise. It's fucking boring.
Well, that's my problem with it. That's exactly my problem with it, is that had that been executed well, had it just, for me anyway, look, I don't know how other people would have responded to it. My problem is that this film takes itself too seriously. If it wanted to do that, I would have loved for it to just go deep into, like, you know, shower era Godzilla, where it's just complete, you know, guys in costumes battling and just complete ridiculousness and over the top. There is
no way at this stage of this franchise that you can have someone take it seriously.
But it does. This film takes itself seriously, way too seriously.
But it fails on a monumental scale, because this franchise has progressed to a point where it's impossible to take it seriously.
Yeah.
There is too much ridiculousness in the world building.
Yeah, yeah.
The science.
Oh, no, don't go there. I know your problems with Hollow Earth. I like the Hollow Earth.
How have we gone in the space of three or four years of in-world time from being current world, normal human society with giant monsters, which is what it fucking should be?
Yeah.
To being, they have fucking, not even aliens level tech. They have Star Trek level tech in this fucking film. They have spaceships operating through God knows what fucking magic.
That would be fine for me if it was fun.
Fucking nanotech technology that rearranges and builds itself.
If this movie was fun, all of that would work for me. You put a power glove on fucking King Kong, that should be the most fun shit ever. And this film is just dull. It's just boring. Regardless of the human stuff, sure, I don't give a shit about any of them. And to me, that is the worst part of the film. The monster fight tries to get there. My biggest problem is, honestly,
a really good cast.
My biggest problem is the visual effects. This movie looks like a PS3 game. And it can't do that when it is relying on so many visual effects. Like I said, this movie has over an hour of monster screen time.
Yeah, maybe make it 15 minutes of monster action and make it look good.
Or just, like I said, go full on cheese. Don't go that middle ground where it looks like a PS3 game. Either make it really kind of over the top cartoony. Honestly, if this had been done in anime style even, give us a I'm not even joking. Give us a Legendary MonsterVerse film that takes a page out of Spider-Verse's book and just go full on, like, fucking like, you know, One Piece style with it.
Yeah.
And I would be there in a heartbeat, and that would be fun.
You either need to have a really good sense of humor, and that doesn't give you a pass on writing. The writing still needs to be good, which this is patently not. But it needs to either be tongue-in-cheek and have a sense of humor, or it needs to be a serious... to take the premise of these giant things serious, and that ship has sailed 3 movies ago.
Yeah.
If they wanted to do that, they needed to do it back when... I mean, the Gareth Edwards one wasn't great, but like Godzilla. I liked Godzilla King of Monsters. I genuinely liked. Kong Skull Island nailed it. That is the best in this franchise as far as I'm concerned. The effects look good. The acting was good. The writing was good for the tone that it was going for, and it hit the tone it was going for.
Yeah.
And that's what everything else has missed. None of the others have had the sense of humor that was the Thor Ragnarok of this franchise. That struck the balance between having sort of moments that had some pathos and stuff. It wasn't all just shits and giggles.
Yeah.
But it had enough funny lines. It had enough quirky characters. And the focus was on the human characters.
Yeah.
So you actually gave a shit. They were each clearly defined. They had relationships between themselves. Even Sam Jackson, when he was chewing scenery, had a place, and he had a relationship with his men.
Yeah.
And that film... weirdly gets maligned as a piece of shit, and I think it's by far, it's a genuinely good film, and probably the only unequivocally genuinely good film for me in this franchise, even though I do like King of Monsters.
You kind of just brought up the human story. Let's talk about that. It is a very small part of this film, to be honest.
How do you have Rebecca Hall, Dan Stevens... what's his name? Brian Tyree Henry.
Oh, I mean, Brian Tyree Henry. Like, fuck him off, please. Yeah. Fuck him off.
No. I'm not talking about the characters and the writing, but these are genuinely really good performers.
Yeah, yeah.
Who act well. And, I mean, who else? I mean, you didn't have Millie Bobby Brown. Apparently she's no longer important, even though she was the fucking star of...
Well, I think she's too expensive. This is a very, very pared-down cast. This cast, I mean,
Alexander Skarsgård's apparently still too expensive because we've got Rebecca Hall back, who apparently doesn't charge as much, and for no reason... he is noticeably absent, even though the two of them are hand in hand. How do you have one and not the other?
Well, yeah, I mean, this film...
not even have a mention of him.
No, well, this film literally has, what, like 6 or 7 human cast members. Rebecca Hall is the biggest name, and she's not a massive draw card.
I mean, she's an amazing actress, and I love her, and she looks fucking so hot in this. Oh, look, I can be shallow. This whole movie's shallow.
So I think it came down to cost.
I love, but he's fucking awful in this, playing the weird cross between fucking Ace Ventura and Jack Black.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, again, that is a character that is so outrageous it should be fun, and it's just not. Like, this is literally a vet for King Kong.
It's how tone deaf this screen is. The script is, and the screenwriters, they have this character that they've even dressed like Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
And he basically is Ace Ventura. But they name check Ace Ventura in the film.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're blatantly ripping off another character, don't reference it in the fucking screenplay.
See, but here's the thing. Ace Ventura was a comedy film. This film doesn't have a single laugh in it.
No, but Dan Stevens is meant to be very funny.
Oh,
these
really?
Hippie dippy fucking... oh. I mean, let's just... We have a kaiju dentist in this film.
Yeah.
As one of the main characters.
That's what I mean. That's so outrageous and ridiculous that should be fun, and it's just not.
We know he's never done this for Kong before. How is this his career? What other kaiju has he fucking done dentistry on? Why does he have equipment and prosthetic teeth to do dentistry on Kong?
How did he have that just laying around? Yeah.
Well, like they've got the fucking Infinity Gauntlet laying around in Hollow Earth for some reason.
Yeah, which can do all kinds of ridiculous shit like cure frostbite.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, the other thing that really disappointed me is the lack of Godzilla in this film. This is Kong's film. This is 100% a Kong film. And I kind of wish that it had been named so that I went in expecting that. You know, it's like... Captain America Civil War, for example. It's an Avengers film. They could have called that Avengers 3. They didn't. Yeah. They put it right there on the tin. This is a Captain America film. And I wish they had done the same thing
Captain
here.
America X Iron Man.
Yeah. And I wish they'd done the same thing here and just given us like Kong colon something, something, something. Because this is a Kong movie that has a little bit of Godzilla in it. Godzilla's there. He had some and it sucks because I honestly,
you know,
I fucking love
movie?
This iteration of Godzilla. When he goes full Kirby and sucks up that other kaiju's powers and he's got the
purple
spikes.
He just fucking ingests Tiamat and he goes all fucking pride and gets his pink
halo. I loved that. And I wish that had been more of the film and I would have liked this so much more because they just don't really play with that at all. So, yeah.
No, they should have called this movie Curious George is about the
It would have been a way more accurate title.
Can you tell I've been sitting on that one for half an hour? when fucking Diddy Kong comes in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God. It's the growing pains thing. We've got baby DiCaprio coming in because all the kids have gotten too old.
Yeah.
But then when he turns around and he's just a little shit and he bites Kong on the finger and then he's that sequence. I was like, oh my God, if you make the rest of the movie like this, I'm not going to hate this. And I know Billy didn't like it and we're going to have the most, we're going to be in the upside down where I'm defending a movie from this franchise while Billy shits on it. And that will be the best thing ever. Admittedly, everything else in the movie was fucking
garbage. You're 100% right.
That sequence was, and when he picks up.
When he picks him up and uses him to battle with. Yeah.
Big monkey beats other big monkeys with small monkeys.
It is the only fun moment in any of this kaiju battle. It's the only fun moment. When he picks up the little monkey and he's swinging him around.
Come up saying puny god.
Yeah, 100% I agree with you. That was one moment that really lent into the fun of what a kaiju movie can be. Because this isn't going the Godzilla Minus One route. This is not a serious movie. It doesn't have anything to say. So go the other route with it and just go fucking bananas.
And where it failed compared to one of the... I mean, I hated the film before this, even not as much as this, but I hated it. It was terrible. But the one thing that I remember liking in the whole thing was I thought that the... little deaf girl having taught him Kong to sign. I thought that was genuinely touching that she was communicating with Kong and Kong was communicating with her through ASL. I thought that was beautiful. In this film now, she's fucking telepathic and she's from a race of telepaths who've been living in the fucking Hollow Earth.
Not just in the Hollow Earth.
Oh, my God.
Not just in the Hollow Earth. In the Hollow Earth of the Hollow Earth.
In the subterranean of...
The Hollow Earth has another layer.
It's also lit by a sun that doesn't exist and has gravity even though... I know this is an American film and they have trouble with evolution and gravity and things like that in their educational system.
Be careful, Dave.
I said it. It's all right. I'm like Wayne. I'm lovable. I can say shit and people still like me. But gravity's a fairly... In a broad sense, a fairly simple concept. The bigger a thing is, the center of that thing attracts smaller things to it.
Yeah.
So Earth is attracted to the sun, so we don't go hurtling off into space. Moon is attracted to the Earth, and so it circles around us, et cetera, et cetera. If you go into the middle of a thing, the gravity doesn't work to the crust, outwards to the crust. So if you have this hollow Dyson sphere of an Earth where we've got a world... I mean, let's... ignore the fact that you can almost jump from one side of the Hollow Earth up to the ceiling side of the Hollow Earth. So it's a very small hollow of the Earth. But why is gravity working outwards?
Look, I've heard you make all these complaints before, Dave, and I don't get... The Hollow Earth is the least of my problems with. I like the Hollow Earth. I'm here for the Hollow Earth.
You had a problem with the Hollow Moon, you should have a problem with the Hollow Earth.
I'm here for Hollow Earth. I'm here for it. Godzilla vs. Kong was fucking great. That first foray to Hollow Earth, I'm all here for it.
Have you got to the Monarch TV series, by the way, yet?
I still haven't yet.
Can you watch that? Because I want to have a... I want to talk about that with you and how that relates to all of this.
I'm very keen
I went down a fucking insanity rabbit hole after this film, reading up on the chronology of this entire universe and the graphic novels and the TV show and,
yeah,
you know, John Goodman and how he's played by a younger version of him in the TV show and who's the son and the daughter of... And they've tried to make this interconnected world. It's a fucking mess and a failure, but it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I was just disappointed in this film. I wanted many more homages, like especially after the way that the original Godzilla score is utilized in Godzilla Minus One. Fuck, I would have loved to have some of that come back here, but we don't. You know, it's very bland.
Godzilla spends most of his time asleep in the Colosseum.
Yeah, yeah, it's very bland. It's very dry. I don't think any of the film is funny. I think very little of it is fun. I think, again, the visual effects are just absolutely atrocious. And I always feel bad when I say that as a visual effects artist, because I know the work that these guys go into to put a film like this out. And it was, I can tell you right now, that still would have been a boatload of work. They finished filming 18 months ago. So it's a huge production cycle.
I don't think you've got a shot in this film that doesn't have CG in it somewhere. And the entire film is replete with it.
Yeah, but it's just such a shame that it doesn't look good. Nothing has weight to it. Nothing has
Kong, watching Kong run.
Yeah,
and weirdly, like 2 hours after I got home from watching this film, I can't remember what's in IGN or someone had posted up a clip from, not the Ang Lee, but the MCU Hulk film, Norton one, of Hulk running across rooftops and stuff. And there was a sense of impact with every land, every step, every swing. You got a sense that this thing weighed tons and as it moved. And having just come from a film where something 10 times that size was swinging and running around, and it could have been a midget running on marshmallows. There was no sense of impact or scale or anything.
Yeah, the rendering is atrocious. Like I said, it looks like a PS3 game. The worst thing for me, apart from the lack of weight to all the actions, is I feel like there is a huge inconsistency with the scale throughout the film. You spoke about how big Kong is meant to be.
Kong changes size. There are scenes in this film
where Kong looks the size of a regular gorilla. And then when he and Godzilla are fighting at the pyramids, I mean, even though you know that they're big because the pyramids are right there next to them, but they still somehow look really tiny. I just think that there's a huge inconsistency. The biggest Kong ever
seemed was when he does the little finger touch thing with The Last Avatar. And you've got this, his fingertip fills the screen and she's sort of literally touching this enormous thing. But half an hour earlier, he's been crashing through trees that we know are normal size because the humans have just walked through them.
Yeah.
And he's just crashing into them and they're up to his chest.
Real terrible sense of scale. It makes no sense. It really, really bothered me because in a kaiju film, you need that. You need to feel how large these creatures are. It
lives and dies by the sense of scale of these things. They need to be striding through a city.
Yeah. Like, I need to rewatch it. I remember slagging on Pacific Rim, but my memory of that is that at least that's one thing it did very, very well was the
scope. I think so.
The scope. Everything felt hazy memory, but big.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I did not like this film at all. I'm a 2 out of 10. And for being my most anticipated film of the year, it's my most disappointing film. I don't know if it'll make my list of worst of the year yet. I've seen some pretty bad things already. But I have yet most disappointing to see something
for sure. This will top my worst of the year.
Yeah, right.
At this point in time anyway. I was at 1 on Letterboxd, so 2 out of 10. I feel like that's generous. This is a horrendous, horrendous, horrendously bad film, and I would urge everyone not to waste your money going to see it. Wait till it's free, and then
It's making its money back. It's already done extraordinarily well for opening weekend. It's going to crack over 100 mil for opening weekend. So this will do better than Dune Part 2. I'm calling that now. God, Dune Part 2 has just cracked 600.
We don't deserve to live as a species. we just fucking wipe us out.
Dune Part 2 has just cracked 200. Topher very excitedly sent a message to myself and Sam from Movie Reviews and 20Qs saying, yes, we did it, 600. This will get that in double the time, I'm sure of it. Look, just, I don't think we're not in billion territory, but it's going to beat Dune 2, I'm sure of it.
How the guy who directed this and the preceding Godzilla vs. Kong is the same guy that did things like The Guest and You're Next. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, they were great films. What happened to him?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hate Death Note, but everyone else in the world hated Death Note. I mean, this guy is on a downward trajectory like you wouldn't believe based on his last three films.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a bit disappointing. But let's end things on a happy note, because next week I know we're going to be talking about some good things, some great things, in fact, because you and I are going to be talking about
our top five. I guarantee I will be talking about 10 things that are...
Oh, we're going so 10, are we?
Yeah.
Don't we? We always do 5.
We don't always do 5. We always do 10. I've got all the graphics to prove it.
Nah, we've always done 5.
I can't do... Unless you let me have 10 honorable mentions, I can't do 5.
You could do honorable mentions. Hang on. I swear we always do 5. Hang on.
God, we're a professional outfit. Why would you listen to any other podcast?
I'm gonna search our feed. I'm just going to search for the word top. Top 5 movie couples. Top 5 comic book movies. Top 5 movie modernizations. Tell you what though, we've mixed it up though, because we did the top 10 underrated horror films. We did top 10 actors we'd watch do anything.
There you go.
So we've done a mix of both. Top 5 guilty pleasure comedies. Top 5 hidden gem TV shows. Ooh, top
feels 5
Christmas movies.
We started doing 5s and
time.
Then we blocked out to 10s because the 10s seem more recent. Can you come up with 10?
Hang on. We're literally recording. Let me check how many I've got. Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I've got 9 on my list. I reckon I can find a 10 in 5 minutes. Yep. All right. Next week, we'll be doing our top 10. Check that, listeners. Guilty pleasure horror movies. Because you know what? Dave and I, we love horror movies. And I don't know about you, Dave, but I certainly, as attested to from my love of Godzilla vs. Kong, I tend to love movies that most other people think are bad. So that's the way I did it, because I don't have a good read on this stuff. I just go, I love this movie. I've gone by what do I love that has a bad Rotten Tomatoes score. And that's the way that I was able to come up with what I defined as guilty pleasure horror movies.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because I genuinely don't believe in the concept of guilty pleasures. If I like something, it's because I think it has some redeeming qualities. And even if it's Your Highness, I think it's a good film or I wouldn't like it. Yep. But we'll see. We'll see next week.
Yep. All right. Well, that's what we get into next week. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that at pottymouthradio.com or pottymouthradio@gmail.com. You can find us on all the socials at pottymouthradio.
You don't need to do that. Just say pottymouthradio.com. I put everything on the fucking website so that I can save you this effort.
Well, and definitely go to the website, people. Check out the rest of the shows on the Pottymouth Network. The one where we watched a Friends Rewatch podcast is live now, where Noosk and I are rewatching Friends one app at a time.
That's a good show.
Yeah, the first 5 eps of that out.
And I'm not even on it.
Dave and I, we're 5 eps into recording our Dungeons and Dragons podcast with some other wonderful podcasters from around the world. So that one's not ready to go out just yet, but keep an ear out for that.
Very soon.
At pottymouthradio.com. And we will catch you next week.
Fare thee well.